gonna talk about the midterms. We're gonna talk about the midterms. Midterms, midterms, blah, 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 blah. I'm so sick of the midterms. I'm so sick of them. I want it to be over. I wish I could vote today. Welcome to the Loftus Party, everyone. This is the show. I have to think that you're like me and you're just done with it. I'm tired about the people thinking, oh, what will happen in Missouri and what will happen in this little place and, oh, this happened there and blah, blah, blah. I'm done. We're recording the show early. We'll get into that in a few moments. But you'll be listening to this the day before the midterms. So I have to imagine it's going to be even worse in 2 days. I can't take it anymore. I know how I'm going to vote. And people are like, oh, you could do early voting. You know what? You're right. And I probably should have. So we're going to try to. You did?
I did. I voted like 2 weeks ago.
Me too.
Okay. Now this brings up a very interesting conundrum for me. I think that we should put a limit on early voting. Like, what happens if you vote like 3 weeks ago and then a big story breaks today? Like, you know,
I'm not a huge fan of early voting, right?
You did it.
Well, I did it while my Kavanaugh rage was still flaming.
Yeah.
So early voting this year kind of makes me happy because a lot of people got really mad. So like, I'm going to go fix this, right? Yeah. In a year like today, when we forget things that happened a week ago, if people were able to vote when they were really ticked off, I think that's a good thing.
There should be an app for that. There should be an app. Like, you put your thumb on your phone, and if your heart rate is too high, they don't let you vote.
Really?
Obviously, you're angry. You're enraged. We're gonna ask that you do. Oh my gosh! Did you hear that? That was like straight up Porky Pig. That was straight up. I was like, are they? We're going to send you a yoga app to calm yourself. Oh, but you brought up Kavanaugh. I wanted to just to sneak this in really quick. That one lady just admitted she straight up made it up.
Just make it up. She pretended to be the woman that sent the letter to Kamala Harris's office.
So there, and this, isn't that the one that Kamala Harris was all believe all women? Here's another one, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. So Kamala Harris, the way I read the story when I read it last night was Kamala Harris gets this anonymous letter to her office, right?
Yes.
And somehow the letter got published in something with the Judiciary Committee because they had questioned Kavanaugh about it. This supposedly happened in California. This woman is supposedly a resident of Oceanside, I believe it was.
Ooh, I have a cousin in Oceanside. Lovely community.
So now this whole thing starts to wane because it was this anonymous complaint that Kavanaugh answered. So some woman from Kentucky writes the Judiciary Committee and says it's her.
But it was just a complete fabrication, yeah?
Complete fabrication. She's like, oh, yeah, that wasn't really me. The Judiciary Committee investigated her. She is a left-wing activist, complete. And she just basically said, oh, yes, this is my story, and took the handwritten note that was, I'm sorry, that was sent to Kamala Harris's office and typed it up and said, here was my original.
Wow. And what's in it for her? Why would she accuse them? Believe all women. What's in it for her? Oh my gosh. Someone did put together one of those little videos. What's in it for her? What's in it? That just kills me. Believe all women.
Well,
so this woman,
$1 million was in it for the other one. So
did she collect that? Did she get it?
Oh yeah, she's using it.
That's oh boy howdy.
And they're floating book deals. What did this woman do that's worthy of writing a book?
My fear of flying. I wrote this on the plane. That would be the best title of her book.
Oh, God.
My fear of flying. I wrote it on the plane. Okay, so we're going a little early. I'm going to backtrack a little bit here.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on. Here's why we're going a little bit early. The Deplorable Comedy Tour starts tomorrow night in Dallas, Texas. And then we go to Houston. Now, when we started this thing, when we were floating this idea, this thing has been percolating for a while. It's been percolating for a while. There's big names that were attached, and then they went away, and now they're thinking about coming back. Everyone wants to play wait and see. Everyone wants to play let's wait and see. And yours truly, Michael Loftus, said, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of let's wait and see. Let's go. So I reached out to my buddy Steve McGrew. He's gung-ho. He's buddies with Terrence Williams, who you see all over social media. Right. Then we reached out to the Deplorable Choir. It's a nice little cast of misfits that we have. So I just want everyone to know how insane my next 2 days are going to be. So I got to be on a plane to Dallas in the morning. So that it leaves at like 8. So I'm wheels up at 8. I'm going to be up and at 'em at 5 o'clock in the morning. Go to Dallas, check into the hotel, do a show tomorrow night, then hop in a rental car on Monday, drive 3 hours to Houston, where it's just going to be pandemonium. It's just going to be straight up pandemonium. Here's what happens. Here's what happens when you say, I'm going to be part of the Deplorable Comedy Tour, and it's just a bunch of good people. We're going to have a good time. You're not going to feel bad for leaning to the right. You're not going to feel bad for being a conservative or libertarian or what have you. HBO is coming out. HBO is sending a crew. MSNBC is sending a crew. Newsmax is sending a crew. Now, here's the dicey part. Here's the dicey part.
Right.
So, yeah, I have to believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, but the show Vice from HBO, I don't know if they have love in their heart.
And yeah,
MSNBC, I don't know if they have love in their heart. So they've asked if they could record the whole show. And, of course, we can't agree to that because then you just show all the material and blah blah blah. So
why would they think they could do that?
Why not ask?
Well, I'd ridiculous. Ask.
You know, because then you're like, okay, there's the whole show, and they're going to interview. So I just want to call it now. I just want to go on record, and here's my concerns, and why we let it happen. Because yes, this could be like a total Yosemite Sam shotgun blast to the face. They want to interview people as they come in the show and leave the show. Here's my prediction. MSNBC, and pardon me if I don't have a lot of faith in them, and Vice from HBO, who knows? I think it'll probably, there's a very good chance it will turn into a hit piece, and they're going to interview the most colorful people in the audience.
Of course.
And so that's my concern. However, the press, we just need the free publicity. There's no such, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So we're going in, and it's a little scary because you know what
where's
the odds
Fox?
Are. I'm sorry.
Where's Fox?
I don't know about Fox News.
Why isn't Fox covering it?
They might. There's still a chance that they will do something.
I really hope they do.
Well, I think they have their hands full with Fox Nation, who I will say is also a possibility in all this. And again, everyone keeps asking for more dates, more dates, more dates. Right now, we're doing these two comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm. And
then there will be at least 25 cities, at least 25 cities. Small theaters, the possibility of up to 50 cities and small theaters beginning at the end of, well, it's kind of hard to compete with Christmas and Hanukkah. So it might be in December, but in all probability, it'll be like January, February,
March. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of this is in the works. You might see, and I will, we'll talk about it on the show. We'll talk about it on the show.
No, really?
Yeah. If it's a massive hit piece. Didn't Gavin McGinnis have something to do with Vice back in the day?
I don't recall. I recently watched something with J.D. Peterson, Jordan. He was doing an interview with a panel of people, and they said, you know, the press coverage of you has been pretty negative in a lot of cases. He's like, oh, absolutely. And as he normally, oh, absolutely. And he said, so what, I'm just going to rattle off some networks here and tell me what you think. MSNBC, I believe the word he used was reprehensible in terms of their coverage of him. And he's kind of center left. He's not even right wing, right? He's just saying things and that are based in science that the left wing doesn't like. And I don't recall if they mentioned Vice or not, but I believe the word he used, and I apologize if I'm wrong, for MSNBC and their coverage of him and the interview they did with him was reprehensible.
I'm glad you brought that up, because last night I got home. I went to the Ice House in Pasadena last night. I haven't been up there for a while. My buddy Steve McGrew was headlining, and we wanted to talk about the tour and what to expect and the press and all that stuff. So that was cool. I got to see all my buddies at the Ice House, and I'll be doing stand up again there very, very soon. Holy smoke. I did Hermosa Beach last week. Just crushed.
Really?
Oh my gosh. You know what I got, Gypsy? I have a vision. And as it starts to work, I just get excited. Just complete and total boner pants. But that's off topic. We're talking to MSNBC, and we're talking Jordan Peterson and blah, blah, blah. So I get home last night, and I'm watching MSNBC. And here's the difference between MSNBC and Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News, you'll have like a legit Democratic strategist, someone who's run campaigns, and you'll have the anchor sits down and go, okay, so what do the Democrats need to do in the midterms? And this Democrat who's a legit Democrat and is in charge of stuff will legitimately tell them, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to highlight the differences. And then there's like a little interview and it's back and forth. And every once in a while it'll get contentious or no, but it's like legitimate news. It's like a legitimate interview. Last night I'm watching Brian Williams, that show he's got, The 11th Hour, and it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute it's a Saturday Night Live skit. It's a big segment on why the Republicans are evil, why they should be despised, why people shouldn't vote for them. Oh, and then after the break, we have a former White House guy. He worked in the Bush administration. He worked in this blah, blah, blah administration. And he's going to tell us about what the Republicans need to do.
Was it Steve Schmidt?
No, you come back and it's flipping Bill Kristol. It's Bill Kristol. And you're like, no, that's flipping false advertising. This guy has nothing to do. This is a lonely man who sits by him in a room full of conservatives. He sits by himself. He's just more Trump bashing from this guy. So that's the conservative view.
You can't.
That's the conservative view. And then he's talking about how he wants to, who's the Nikki Haley? He's talking about how he wants to have a secret lunch with Nikki Haley to convince her to run against Trump in 2020.
No, and you're like, get this man off the TV. 24, Nikki Haley.
No more Bill Kristol. No more Jennifer Rubin. If you're MSNBC, you have to have a legit conservative on there.
No,
you have to have somebody who is pro Republican.
No, it's going to be Tom Nichols. It's going to be Bill Kristol. It's going to be Anna Navarro. It's going to be Amanda Carpenter. It's going to be Jen Rubin. It's going to be, I mean, Anna Navarro just wrote this huge piece about how she lives in Florida and gasp, she's voting for Andrew Gilliam for governor. Andrew Gilliam, whose own campaign manager calls him a left-wing crazy.
It is.
Left-wing crazy. And I'm sitting there and I'm sitting, the only reason she's doing this is so Democrats will like her. And she can keep her new slot on The View as the conservative. Are you kidding me?
And that's like, we need to be vocal about this. We really do. Like, people need to start complaining. Here's the problem with
like something like 100 conservative leaders that included people from the ACU and Glenn Beck and other people wrote a letter to the Washington Post that says, we don't care if Jen Rubin writes for you, but she does not reflect our point of view. Can you please stop labeling her as the conservative? And the Washington Post completely ignored them.
Wow. I did not know about this.
Oh, yeah.
When did this happen?
Oh, my gosh. Probably a month ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Hey, I'm gonna leave it to the listeners here, just because I don't want to forget. I want to get a hold of Glenn Beck. I want to talk to Glenn Beck. I like that guy more and more. As
Beck
the more
I like him more and more. He used to kind of turn me off and he was a little too much, but wow, he has become so extremely insightful. I can't wait to read his new book, actually.
Yeah. So, and then God bless him for getting together and writing that letter, because yep. that is false advertising to say, oh, we've got a conservative voice on here. There's nothing conservative about that woman, Jennifer Rubin.
The only one they'll like sometimes include on, well, they include a couple on CNN that I think do a pretty good job. Guy Benson, MK Hammer.
Benson's been on CNN?
Oh yeah, he's a CNN contributor.
What?
Yeah, he has been for a long time.
He's a Fox News guy.
He's on CNN a lot.
I've never seen him. I've never seen him.
I believe so.
I think you might be getting in trouble.
I might be getting in trouble. Okay. But I have seen them have Molly Hemingway on.
CNN's got my. Here's mm-hmm. I can't watch CNN. I really can't. I've tried.
I've only seen them on clips that like short clips on YouTube. I can't watch CNN. I actually called them a banana today.
It's very tough. Yeah. And that's another one. And like, again, it's the comparison of CNN to Fox News. And if you do try to go back and forth, there's nothing remotely fair about it. It's horrible. And I'm like 2 weeks away, you guys. I'm about 2 weeks away from just letting it rip. Just put that on the back burner.
On the calendar.
Yep. In 2 weeks, there's going to be some eye opening revelations on this show. The left is it's very concerning. And I've had my eye on this for a long time. Back to the flip side days and all that stuff. They are legitimately not interested, in my opinion, right now, as of this date in the year of our Lord, 2018, they don't seem to be interested in a fair fight. They don't seem to be interested in a real discussion about ideas. They literally, you hear these bombastic statements from some of these people on the right, and they're correct. I'm starting to be like, they're just interested in winning at any cost.
Whole answer to immigration is racist. You're scared of brown people. No, I'm not.
You saw the video, right? You saw the video I did this week. Did you watch this one?
Yes, I did.
About the wall. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. It is. And I thought it was a great video. I really thought it is a symbol of the frustration. This has been going on since the 80s. It's been going on, and everybody goes, oh, it's just a couple people. Oh, it's just a couple people. What are you worried? It's just a couple people. It's just a couple people. Listen, it adds up. It adds up. In 86, it was 3 million people that got amnesty. And then they're like, okay, now there's 11 million people who are illegal living in the country. And now Yale takes another look, and it's 22 million people. And the population is just exploding. And you can call me a racist. It's about the money. It's about the demographics of the country. It's about being fair. It's about we have a line. There's a million reasons.
It's about taking advantage of low-wage workers.
Yeah. It's the right and the left doing it, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I thought, number one, that video actually went very well with how do you win a debate about this. Okay, so how many is enough? How many is the right number?
And that's the question they can never answer. And that's the one that I put to Cenk Younger, or whatever the hell his name is from the Youngs.
What's the right number? How many is okay? We already do a million. How many should we do? They never have an answer. And the other thing they do, and they do this all the time, and it drives me insane. Mm-hmm. It's they don't distinguish between illegal immigrants and legal immigrants.
I'm right there with you, sister.
Those are two totally different, and I believe partially you poll people now and they want a lot less legal immigrants because of their observations about what happens with illegal immigrants. Like if you could seriously address those two issues with separate policies that would make people feel, okay, our border's secure. We're not just letting people in willy-nilly. And now we've got these people who have skills and are being sponsored by employers and all this good stuff that actually helps our economy, and they want to be Americans and they want to assimilate. Okay, these people are actually kind of cool.
When I do these videos, I can only think about the things that I forgot to say or I didn't say. It's like, cause it's like working on a little stand-up set, but because I can always hear the people complaining, you know, we're a nation of immigrants. No crap. This is what I was saying at Hermosa Beach the other night. Like I kind of let it rip. I was talking about political correctness and how it's gone too far. The audience is all laughing. Oh, he's making a lot of sense. I'm talking about the history of our country and how, you know, Andrew Jackson wasn't a bad guy, and I'm making sense. Then I admit I voted for Trump and I'm for the wall. And even in this beach community that's like very, very left leaning, they're like, uh-oh, we've liked him so far. He's making sense. Then I went into illegal immigration and it's still working. It's still working. Mm-hmm. I turned the room. I was able to communicate. And it's like, everyone knows we're a nation of immigrants. I hate it when they do that. When you're talking about that, it's illegal immigration. It's two different things. And I the audience was with me. They were with me. They're completely on board. Mm-hmm. We have a million people we let in. We can't let just illegal people float in. And then my joke was, let's all go to Disneyland for free. We'll just grab, we need like 4,000 people. We'll go to Disneyland. We'll kick down the doors.
Storm the gates.
Open up Magic Mountain, Mickey. I deserve this. You can't do it anywhere else. We're a nation of law. So it was very funny. And I'm telling you, a room full of a very mixed crowd. It was probably 90% liberal. And you've got – this is
– And 10% really scared conservatives.
I swear. And you talk to them after the show, and they literally look around. They look over their shoulder before they go, hey, that was really funny, man. I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah.
And
that's
terrifying. It's terrifying.
Do y'all have a secret handshake?
No, but we need one. And oh, and here's the other Here's the other thing that you'll get from people. It's they're overstaying their visas. A big problem is people over. Okay.
Okay.
Kick them out. Go get them.
China does.
I have no. They do it like they're playing cards, and this is their trump. Like this is their ace in the hole. Okay. The problem isn't really people sneaking over the border. It's people overstaying their visas. Okay. Fine. Kick them out.
You know what another big problem is?
I have no problem with that. What?
You know what another big problem is? 36,000 people came over on birth tourism in its second year.
Oh, people act like Trump is crazy for bringing this up. But I'm like, that's a quality problem to go after.
It's a total quality problem. You know what? We're one of 31 nations that allows it. The only other industrialized country that still has it is Canada. So I think we should just send them right up to Canada when they come here to do it. But of the other 31 countries that allow it, like 12 of them are the ones knocking down our border. Like nobody's trying to go there to have a baby. Nobody's trying to go to Honduras. Nobody's trying to go to Guatemala. Nobody's even trying to go to Mexico to do this.
I had the rudest joke, and I didn't put it in. I didn't put it in the video because I'm talking about we should build a wall. We should build a wall. And then people always go, well, you know, these people are inventive. They'll find a way in. They'll do ladders. They'll do tunnels. They're inventive. And I'm like, if they're so inventive, how come they can't stop the violence in their country? You know, I'm like,
yeah. How come they can't fix their own stuff?
Yeah, right? Yeah. And that's like on the side. We should just like when they get to the big border wall, like the Game of Thrones style border wall, we should, you know, like I'm saying, here's a bottle of water. Here's a lunch. Here's a new backpack and some shoes and an AR-15. Go back to your country and fix it.
Yeah,
but no, then the problem is you can't give them a loaded AR-15 because then they'll just turn it on you and break into the country. So you got to figure a way to like maybe drop the ammo a few miles down the road.
It's just south of the Mexican border. You can pick up the ammo on the other side of Mexico.
Yes, it'll be there waiting for you.
It'll be there waiting for you. But no, and I have to say, I think this whole – I'm not sure how this whole Axios interview happened with Trump and how that got laid out there right before the midterms because it
what
did
happened?
not – Oh, this is where Trump and birthright citizenship in the current news cycle started. He was being interviewed by Axios, which tends to be a little left-leaning, but it was a person-to-person interview, and they do break some – they do a good job breaking news out of D.C. So.
Axios is blowing up. That thing is big.
Yeah, no, but they do a good job. So they actually got to sit down with President Trump, and the interviewer said, so I've heard from, you know, staff around the White House that you're in discussions with your attorneys about an executive order for birthright citizenship. So this is actually something supposedly this, you know, journalist has heard from resources within the administration. And Trump said, well, I'm surprised you've heard that. Actually, I didn't realize that many people knew that. But yes, I'm absolutely having that conversation. He said, I believe we can end birthright citizenship by executive order. Some people say you can't. My lawyers say we might be able to. And if we can, I will. Now, I love this because even if he writes an executive order ending birthright citizenship, right, of course it's going to be challenged. Within 2 hours, there will be – the lawsuit is already written, right?
Oh, yeah. Right? I like how the illegal immigrants have a lawsuit that they're filing.
Well – actually, it's people in the U.S. from Honduras who filed it on behalf of the illegal immigrants, which I also think is a scream.
That's nice.
Yeah, isn't it great? But in a way, him doing this by executive order is going to force the Supreme Court to rule on the 14th Amendment, which doesn't really read like it supports birthright citizenship.
Well, that's the frustrating part. That's the frustrating part is you have all these people going, well, if he wants to change the 14th Amendment, there's a way to do that. If you're to amend the Constitution, you need blah, blah, blah. But like, it's like when you read the whole thing, there's more information there.
But the Supreme Court has never been posed the question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I hear as well.
Let's have a ruling on the question before we decide we need to go through a constitutional amendment process. And I think it's beautiful because it's the most expedient way to get there, because we could have all this arm wrestling and screaming and fist pounding and preening and virtue signaling throughout Congress to try to do the same thing. Right. And we would lose representatives more than we may next week if we did that. Right. So Trump's just going to expedite the whole process by doing an executive order. Well, like, it's actually a good strategy to get this in front of the court.
It is. He gets things done fast. He finds the shortest distance between two points. And to the people who are listening, it's that part in the 14th Amendment. It's like, hey, if you're born here. But then it also goes on to say something like, and are subject to the laws and regulations of the blah, blah, blah. That's
You're
the part where
subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
Yeah, that's where it gets murky, because like at the very least, the birthright tourism, these, you know, wealthy garbage. Chinese, wealthy Russians, wealthy people from other nations, they come over, they have a kid here, and then they skedaddle back to their home country, and they're not subject to the laws and regulations of these here United States. I don't think you get to be a citizen. You can't just – it's not magic. It's not Harry Potter. They're like, where was the child born? He was born in Miami, sire. Oh, then he shall forever be known as an American. No. Kid, you grew up in Liechtenstein. You're Liechtenstein.
More likely Beijing, but
yes.
But I mean, everybody and the reaction to this on Twitter was great. So I guess Barron Trump should have his citizenship revoked because his mother wasn't a citizen when he was born. No, she was a legal resident of the United States, and he's the child of a U.S. citizen, being his father, Donald Trump. That's not how any of this works. Oh, maybe Marco Rubio should denounce his citizenship since his parents didn't become citizens till 2 years after he was born. No, they were refugees from Cuba. They sought asylum. They were here legally. They were under the jurisdiction of the United States, that's not affected. It's when you crawl across the border and drop your kid, you know, in a border town, it's a problem.
Yes. But it's those people on Twitter that it's wild. I'll give them like two exchanges on Facebook. I'll give them two exchanges in the comments at theloftistparty.com. I'll give them two exchanges. Like, I'll legit make an effort on the YouTube comments. And then you just have to give up. There was a guy I was talking about the Megyn Kelly black. Oh, and I called it on the Megyn Kelly. But I was talking about the Megyn Kelly blackface comments and how I think she shouldn't have been fired. Blah blah blah. And this kid, this guy is just telling me how horrible racism is in America. And he's like, America, and he spells it with three K's. So he's all fired up. and we're a horrible, horrible nation. And we're just riddled. We're just a nation of Nazis and Klan members.
Yeah, nobody believes that.
So I go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, well, in 2014, there was 130 chapters of the KKK. And now they're down to like 60. So it's not a popular movement. It's losing momentum. They're actively losing their idiot members. And I show this kid and he's like, you can deny it all you want. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with you. Like, I'll never convince you. I'm leaving you alone now.
This is the Southern Poverty. I actually did the same thing when the whole Nazi meme started coming out and everybody's a white supremacist. And I wasn't even a Trump supporter at the time. I was never Trump. We all know this. Mm-hmm. So they're like screaming about white nationalism. I live in Georgia. Okay. So I pull up the SPLC's Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC. Yeah, got it.
Sure, sure. You nailed it. You crushed it.
I crushed it. I thought I reversed the letters. And so like, what's the problem in the state of Georgia? Like, there were five dots that said neo-Nazis and KKK, and most of them that were at the edges of the state, like six guys named Bubba in a mountain town, right? Not a bit, like, nowhere near the cities.
I'm pitching that show to the CW, by the way. Six guys named Bubba in a mountain town?
Yeah. Seriously, like, if you look at where it is in the map, you're like, no one lives there. It's literally six guys named Bubba going, hur, 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 right? When you look at black separatist groups, which the Southern Poverty Law Center also tracks as extremists, and Muslim groups, there's a lot more pins. They're really close to the cities. And yes, it's a much bigger problem in Georgia.
It's staggering, but it is in large part the media that has these people convinced that the white people and white separatists and the KKK rules the nation. And if I hear dog whistle one more time, I'm gonna lose my mind.
You know, the only species that can actually hear a dog whistle is a dog.
Bum, bum, bum.
I mean, I'm so sick of that term. And to say, so we have to, this goes right back to me, to my entire experience during the term of Barack Obama. I object to progressive policy on its very foundation. It is un-American, it is collectivist, and I will oppose it. I don't care who's proposing it, right? Yes. It's wrong. It's bad. Socialism kills. Because yes, I objected to it when Barack Obama proposed it, I'm a racist. No. No, I'm not. I wouldn't have cared if it was Elizabeth Warren. I wouldn't have cared if it was Bernie Sanders. I don't care who it is. I object. Now, if you have a problem with the fact that George Soros and his son Alex fund a whole bunch of progressive groups that are anti-Israel and a whole bunch of other progressive types of organizations, you're an anti-Semite. No, I don't object to the man's religion. I could really care less. I object to his politics.
It's an effective tool. It's an effective tool that the left uses. It's the easiest. It's like kryptonite to Republicans. All you have to do, hey, that guy, you just have to start slinging the word around. And that's, oddly enough, that's how you got Trump.
In a weird way.
All I have to do is like, it's like in Florida, in the Florida race, you know, that, oh, you know, the dude is, is it Gillum? The
guy Gillum, he's corrupt. He is just,
oh my God, taking vacations. It's an FBI sting. He's getting tickets to Broadway shows. It's an FBI sting. And then he's up there. I believe I've worked for everything. I've earned you. I'm not saying you're a racist. I'm saying the racists say you're a racist. And then it doesn't even matter. Nobody even cares about the – hopefully they do care about the FBI.
How about Beto, Beto O'Rourke. I call him Bobby.
I want to get to, they're talking about how Trump is anti-Semitic, which is just staggering, that it's getting any kind of play at all. Like any kind of play.
Can you say Keith Ellison?
I really can't. I've tried. Keith Ellison.
No, I mean, Keith Ellison is an escalate of Louis Farrakhan.
Before you get back up on your soapbox.
Oh, my God.
You're crushing it today. You're crushing it.
I feel but very soapboxy. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've been fighting the midterms, and I'm going to take a break afterwards.
I'm digging it.
I'm going to tweet all the memes.
You got Donald Trump, who's moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's probably the best friend Israel has had in ages.
They named something after him.
And his son-in-law, his daughter, his kids, he's got Jewish people in his family. And for them to be able to insanely turn it around to, but he's really anti-Semitic, and have it any kind of play is just beyond. And that shows you the power of the media. They pick these narratives, they go for it, and it works. And yes, Keith Ellison. Now we get to Keith Ellison. Dude who legit, like, here's the Antifa handbook. I'm hanging out with Louis Farrakhan. And no
like
man.
Sour sore.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I just say this? Now I can never eat Ben and Jerry's again.
That's too funny. I got that on my list. I got that on my list of things to talk about. And I used to be like anti-boycott, but I'll never eat that stuff again.
Nope,
I will
me
never
neither.
Eat again.
And I actually told them, they're like, Linda Sourthor has done so much for women's rights. No, the idiots in the women's march said, oh, here's a person with a hijab that'll come on stage and lie. She supports Sharia law. She supports Sharia law. She's not for women's rights. And if you want to talk about an out-and-out anti-Semite.
It's like, how is she still around? How is she still around? How is Linda Sarsour still around?
Because the left is a bunch of freaking tools like that. You're on my side because we hate the same people. So let's take care of those people and then we can start hating each other. That's how they eat themselves all. The left eats themselves their own all the time doing that garbage.
It's taken too long. Somebody like Ben and Jerry's needs to be hurt in their wallet. We need to make everyone in Hollywood and all these big corporations. They do this. They dip their toe in the political waters, and it's always to the left. It's always to the left.
But I'm not going to cancel my Amazon Prime. I'm not going to stop Netflix. There's a lot of things. I'm not going to stop eating Kellogg's cereal, right? I am so virulently opposed to the politics of Linda Sarsour and what she represents. I literally and Ben and Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough used to be like my go-to, like I'm having a bad day, I'm going to cover up in a blanket and I'm going to eat a pint of ice cream. That was it. Never again.
Well,
never again.
Ice cream is ice cream. Ice cream's like pizza. It's hard to do bad ice cream. I think Ben and Jerry's is a safe one. And listen, if they mend their ways, I'll go back to Ben and Jerry's. I just think it's just a step too far. Listen, I don't like that Levi's is trying to change gun laws. I did that video. Like, what's going on at Nike and Levi's? They're actively trying to take away my rights as a citizen of America. So that's not cool. But however, I love the jeans, and I gotta try on some Wranglers. But Ben and Jerry's, that's a good safe one. When I saw that resist, like who do you guys think you are? Who do you literally think you are? You're morons.
I thought you got good ice cream, but you're idiots. I thought it was kind of humorous. I really did. When they were running around with Bernie Sanders, because I'm like, you guys would have no influence at all in the culture were it not for capitalism. Stop it. This is like parody, right? I mean, this is actually kind of funny. When I saw that woman's face on a tub of Ben and Jerry's, literally instant decision for me again, I will never buy it. If my daughter wants to buy it with my money, the answer is a no. No. I liked it when it was Cherry Garcia. I liked it when you had Chunky Monkey. This is beyond the pale. Beyond the pale, Ben Cohen.
It's staggering, but let's do that. Let's pursue a little. Let's keep that one on the. Let's keep that one going. I don't want to take the lead on it. I don't want to organize the boycott. But I will listen. Me personally, I'll never buy the stuff again until they get rid of Resist. Until they get rid of it. And here's the. And this is a wonderful thing and a great segue. But everyone is running on Resist. Everyone knows that in the midterms, it's about stopping Donald Trump and his policies. Stopping these policies. We've got to stop these policies. Good Lord. The jobs report, the economy, it hasn't been this good since 1969. And I know it sounds trite, and everyone's like, well, look at the record low unemployment. Look at small businesses. But that is true. And this is only in two short years.
Wages have had a real upward trend greater than inflation for the first time in decades.
People should be literally staggering around big cities. The news is so good, they should be staggering around. Manufacturing jobs are coming back. These are the ones that Obama's like, what's he going to do? Wave a magic wand? Those jobs are never coming back. Guess what? They are. And you're right, Gypsy. Wages are coming up. The good news is so insanely good. And this is all done with no help from the Democrats.
None
of them. And they have the audacity and the temerity to go, we're going to stop it. Like, it's
what exactly are you going to stop?
It's
like,
crazy.
Be specific, because if you're going to stop this, that's really bad for me.
It's really bad. Bad for everyone. It's mind-boggling that it's even close. And that is the power. And that is the power of the media. This is the wonderful. It's the mask is off, and we can see things for what they are. They're not interested in a fair fight. They have a narrative. They're going to stick to it. And you've got the vast majority of press coverage is insanely negative. This goes back to Donald Trump being anti-Semitic, but he goes to Pittsburgh and they have a handful of insane people who are going, he's no friend of Israel. Get off the TV.
And they had CIU shirts on. They had, I mean, it was a bunch. It was not a spontaneous grassroots protest by any stretch of the mark if you take a deeper dive there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But you're protesting the president supporting the grieving of the Jewish community following some just reprehensible, disgusting person doing something so unthinkable, right? Donald Trump can't unite the country. No, the people who are preventing the country from being united around something like that are Alex Soros, who ran the group that they said Jewish leaders tell Trump not to come to Pittsburgh. That was actually an activist group that supports things like BDS. They happen to be Jewish, but they don't support Jewish causes.
Well, I'm into BDS. I'm into like light BDS. I've experimented with. I don't feel satisfied yet. Like, I'm not. I'm still on this the freight train, and I shouldn't have brought. I don't want to circle back to the anti-Semitic thing. I don't want to give it any more fuel. But it's just this whole thing where the economy's chugging along, people are working again, wages are going up, small businesses are popping, the manufacturing jobs are coming back, and legitimately they're going, we should stop this. We need to stop this. It's crazy.
I'm going to be very interested to see what the impact of what I hear referred to and I like to call the closing arguments for the midterms are, because by nature, they're going to polarize issues, right? So they're, you know, we're going to be way over here and these people are going to be way over here and you have to decide who's more right. Right.
I don't understand. Who's right?
So Trump is closing on the caravan, right? He knows the economy's good. He knows his base of support is there. He knows that most people's lives are better economically, but that's not really the closing argument, because it's not, when things are good, it's not nearly as polarizing as when the economy is bad, right?
It depends on how you frame it. It depends on how you frame it. And right now, I think that Trump is the only one that can – Trump and myself are the only two people that can frame it correctly.
Well, he's closing on immigration, and he's pushing the Democrats to make claims that are self-evidently not true. He's saying the caravan and illegal immigration is a huge problem. The Democrats are saying we have no problem.
They're way over there. They're way over there.
Way over there. Most rational Americans don't think maybe it's as big a problem as Trump is saying, but they know it's kind of a problem. Like, we should probably do something about our borders. Like, having people just march up and think they can come in is not a good idea.
Beyond this show, I'm not even kidding you, beyond this show, I have not heard anyone else mention the real number of 22 million illegal immigrants. That's a Yale study. That's a Yale study. I'm not getting that from the Daily Caller. I'm not getting that from whitepower.org. That's a real number. And why is that not splashed across every newspaper? Because it doesn't fit the message they want to send. It's staggering.
Did you see this?
I did not. I don't even know what you're talking about. What?
Trump's ad with, what's his name? Luis Bracamontes, who was an illegal alien in Sacramento who killed two police officers and was just absolutely reprehensible during his hearing, saying he wished he had killed more and he would get out and kill more and all.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. Came in once during the Clinton administration, was deported, came back during the Bush years, was deported, came back again, stayed through the Obama years, and killed two police officers. Now, no ad is going to say every illegal immigrant is a Luis Bracamontes, but when you have unmitigated illegal immigration and a Swiss border that looks like Swiss cheese, every once in a while in a group, a Luis Bracamontes is going to get through. And we don't need them here. That's why we need border security. And they showed the current caravan knocking down fences in Mexico, throwing rocks at police officers. We don't need those people in the country either. That ad was called racist. CNN refused to play it because it was so offensive. No, it's not. You know what's offensive? What's offensive is Luis Bracamontes lived in a sanctuary city in California where he was arrested on 10 misdemeanors. The ICE detainer was ignored, and he killed two police officers. That's disgusting.
This goes back to history. This goes back to history because you're absolutely right. You've got those kinds of people in there. Mm-hmm. And then you also have people who are desperate for a better future.
Yep.
And they have choices. Mm-hmm. They can either stay in their home country and find like-minded individuals who are also unhappy, and it's going to be dangerous to try to change your system. Or you can just walk and go to America, and they'll let you in. So ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, my son is studying the French Revolution right now. And like any revolution, you need people to be part of it.
Right.
I really think that ultimately, you could make a very strong case for, we are prolonging the misery. We are prolonging the misery of these other countries.
Uh-huh.
And I was joking around about, like, okay, we'll give you a gun and then we'll give you the ammo a few miles down the road. The very people who are so unhappy with their current situation that they're going to walk to America, those are the people that you need in those countries to talk to other people who are unhappy and say, let's do something. Let's do something and change it. In France back in the day, they really didn't have anywhere to go. So the people rose up and they did something. Was the French Revolution ugly? Yes, it was. Most revolutions are. But ultimately, we're prolonging the misery of these other countries and making it worse. That's where I stand. I say that letting it's racist. We take people from all over the world. We have an immigration system, blah, blah, blah. It is an issue. It's a huge issue. And to watch the former president, Barack Hussein Obama, on stage going, that caravan's way over there. That's way over there. They're talking about, listen, dude, there's another one behind it, another one behind it. It's every day. Okay, so we're going to talk about the wonderfulness that is me and the wonderfulness that is this show. And it's like I was just saying, this is the only place where that 22 million number is thrown around, and it's an accurate number. The insights, the being ahead of the curve, I have to just give it up for me one time. I was talking about the Megyn Kelly and blackface thing, and I've said it for years that Megyn Kelly looks like Aeon Flux. She looks like Aeon Flux. Mm-hmm. So yesterday they announced in the Hollywood Reporter that Charlize Theron, I never know how to say her last name, who played Aeon Flux in the horrible movie Aeon Flux, is now going to play Megyn Kelly in the behind-the-scenes Fox News movie. And I'm like, it's perfect. You get a chick who looks like Aeon Flux, who played Aeon Flux, to play the chick who looks like Aeon Flux in the Megyn Kelly behind-the-scenes Fox News. Only here, you guys. Only here do you get that kind of cool insight. Yes, I nailed it.
Do you think they're going to do a movie about the rampant sexual harassment at Google?
No.
I don't either.
Ever. Ever. It is, they have to demonize Fox News. They have to.
Of course.
It is everywhere you go. And this is the problem. I said this before. I always try to wrap my arms around the problem. I always try to understand it so I know what to do. I know what action to take. And just when I think it can't get worse, it cannot get worse, you find a new piece of information and you're like, holy crap, it's worse. I don't want to say no one yet. I'll be able to say more in 2 weeks. They must demonize the right. They must, and they have to keep the Fox people in a little box, and it has to be made fun of, and it has to be ridiculed, and it has to be you're racist, and you're homophobes, and you're anti-Jew, and you're anti-Israel. They have to demonize it just so you can dismiss the idea out of hand, because if it were, it goes back to the economy. And like, I can't believe it's this close. In a real frank and open discussion of ideas, when people know the dangers and the perils of socialism, even on a small scale, there's no way they would go for it. There's no way they would go for
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
And people talk about Medicare for all and the government being in charge. And I know this is a soft spot for you, and I apologize, because it's a soft spot for me as well. It's like an angry sore. When the government is in charge of your health care, you guys, you get your dental checkups. Yeah, that's great. Oh, maybe. Wow. I didn't have to pay for x-rays. Yeah, maybe, for as long as the money lasts. But then you run up into the problems where you have a kid and that kid is sick. And then the government says there is no hope. And you go, listen, I've got the money. I can get my kid to Italy, and they've got an experimental treatment, and the government will say no. We know more. And that is what happens in England. And you never hear everybody's just these morons. They just go, well, my dental checkups will be free. Yeah. Well, yes, that's great. That's wonderful. And you won't have to pay for Band-Aids. But some poor son of a bitch somewhere down the line is going to lose a family member. They're going to go in to visit grandma in old person's care, and they're gonna go, hey, where is she? Oh, well, we just gave her the injection that kills her, because she was list.
They just stopped feeding them in England. There's actually a protocol that has been used on the elderly and disabled infants, and if you make it through a certain portion of your life and they decide you're too expensive. In very real terms, they just suffocate you. But I mean, I can't even understand how you look at the national health system and go, oh, that looks neat. They canceled 75,000 elective procedures. Those would be things like knee replacements, certain types of cardiac surgery, things that may not kill you now, but could kill you later if they're not taken care of. They canceled 75,000 of them. I believe it was in 2016.
It's staggering. And if I'm not even kidding. If the people knew about this, if you had a platform where you could just say to people, hey, we might want to be careful about how we're trying to run pell-mell into socialism, because I don't think you guys know the full story. I really don't think you know about how many people died under Stalin. I don't think you know how many people died under communism in China. I don't think you know how bad things are in Venezuela or in Cuba. I don't think you know the track record of socialism. I don't think you know about the horrible things that are going on in England today. Mm-hmm. I just want people to be aware. If you can look at the facts, if you can look at history and make a judgment and go, okay, we're going to go for socialism, and you can assure me that those problems that always pop up won't pop up again, I'll listen to your counter argument. I will listen. They don't even want that out in the universe. Something very, very scary happened. Something very, very scary, and I'm glad we got into this part of the conversation. I know we're coming towards the end, and I wish we could have more talk about Aeon Flux and hot chicks and leather G-strings around.
I'm gonna give you the Trump card at the end. So
I got one coming in here. Here's what scared me: Gab. Gab is pretty much gone. I don't know if they're going to come back. I don't know what's going on. And here's the thing. Like, yes, we know Gab was like a cesspool of people who had been kicked off Twitter. It was a lot of white supremacists. It was very angry, but it was free speech. It was free speech. And if you have those beliefs and you want to expound, wonderful.
Good to know where they all are, don't you think? Isn't it nice to be able to monitor that?
Yes. However, it's like people always say, well, if you don't like Twitter and Twitter kicks you off, go somewhere else. Did I have a Gab account? Yes, I had one because I wanted to be at least have somewhere to go if I got kicked off Twitter. And so, listen, it's part of the process. When you start a new social media like Twitter-ish thing like Gab, you're going to get the dregs mm-hmm. at first. But boy, oh boy, they shut them down. They pulled the plug. I don't even see why. It's terrifying. They lost the servers. Thing. They lost their PayPal. What's the other thing?
Dude was also on Facebook. Why is Facebook still up?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? It's like if the fact that this human piece of garbage, because he is a human piece of garbage, right? Was on your platform is good enough to get your platform deep sixed for good. Why is Facebook still up?
Precisely. Why is Twitter still around with the stuff that Louis Farrakhan says?
Exactly.
When it's selective like that, that is terrifying. And yes, there's MeWe. What's another one?
Minds.com. MeWe. Minds is very intellectual. I've gone and taken a look at it. It's pretty interesting. They've got one now powered by blockchain, which really takes care of your privacy, which most of the other platforms don't. So interesting to see what'll happen with that one. But MeWe is like Tinder for groups. I mean, I get more weird messages on MeWe than I have on any platform in my entire life.
I have a MeWe. The Loftus Party has a MeWe. I have never been there. I need to start going.
I keep all the weirdos off your page. So,
well, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. I found it very disturbing. I found it very disturbing because if you don't, and this it's the, it comes back to why we're here, what we're doing, the cross platforming, all of it. You know, YouTube, theloftusparty.com, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
If, since the midterms are on Tuesday, and this comes out on Monday, you have anyone you know that's on the fence, and all your arguments against socialism, very factual, very well-based, all your arguments for free speech and free expression that's absolutely necessary to democracy don't work, okay? The last thing you should do is show the picture of the newest ad on the far left called Grab 'em by the Ballot.
Oh.
This is what you're voting for. I'm like,
I don't understand that one. I understand it in a little bit, but I don't know why they went with such horrible looking, not horrible looking, but like odd looking people. I kind of understand it, but then
that's
I don't understand why.
That's a bunch of freaking far left feminists who decided to take off their clothes, show off their cellulite, and basically put on a fig leaf to try to own Trump.
I've seen it with that. I've seen it with naked dudes. I've seen there's big roly-poly dudes. There's big roly-poly women. I don't understand it. But wonderful. That's their little grab them by the ballot. Okay. The midterms, you'll be listening to this the day before the midterms. I'm encouraging you to go out and vote. It'll be very, very interesting to see what happens. Also very terrifying. I don't even want to think about Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi being back in charge, and things will come to a grinding halt. Things will come to a grinding halt. Next week, we'll talk about the fallout of the midterms. Next week, we're going to talk about The Mandalorian, a Star Wars series I'm very excited about. Next week,
The
Deplorable Tour. I'll give you guys an update on that. Mm-hmm. Next week, I'll have information. I've decided to write a book. And I'm pursuing a book deal, which is pretty exciting. I'll have more show business news, lots to talk about, and there's too much good stuff. You guys are awesome. We got 160 new subscribers to YouTube. Thanks for going to theloftusparty.com. Thanks for participating. A lot of comments on a lot of articles. We love it. We love it. Migrate over to theloftusparty.com. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next time.